You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Kept Faith Podcast. I'm Nick McCann, and I'm joined by a stressed out Travis Russell.
Yeah, go Padres. I got to be optimistic now.
We are, we're in the torture chamber, I think. That's what the kids say.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we got is just to kind of hope for the bright side. I think, it's not looking great for our managerial choices right now, Nick.
I don't know what our off season is shaping up for.
I don't either. Yeah. It's funny. I was just saying before the season ended, and Andy Green was fired, there was this period where we thought, oh, gosh, we have our pick of any manager out there. Of course, they're going to want to be the Padres' next skipper, right? But as things are falling into place right now, we're kind of like, oh, gosh, that one person would have been, you know, so amazing on our team and somewhere else, and it's just... Yeah, we're staying optimistic. Yeah. But
well, let's walk it back. So,
sorry.
The last time we recorded in the beautiful Voice of San Diego podcast studio, we were here with David J. And we were talking about whether or not Andy Green would be fired or if he should be fired or if he would be back or, you know, whatever. But like,
David was still optimistic about his predictions where they get a few more wins and then.
Nope.
No, the Padres went on this like nosedive into the end of the season. Yes.
Yeah. So let's review. Andy Green gets fired. Yes. Rod Barajas takes over. They have a really
How many games left was it? Seven-ish? More? Was it?
It was
more
a
than
week.
That?
It was like a week. Yeah. It was like 10 days. Yeah. And the Dallas performed in front of the San Diego Padres at a stand-up show at the American Comedy Company, which became eventful. We'll let Dallas talk about that next time he's on. But
it became like a side Twitter sensation.
Yeah, and Rod Barajas just kind of landed the ship. I mean, they kind of just lost almost every game that last week. But after that, the Don Wilkie Classic happened. We did post an episode. We talked to some people basically about nothing really has changed since then, but we felt like we should do a podcast. So here we are. But, you know, a lot of things have been batted around. It's gone from Jace Tingler to Ron Washington to back to Jace Tingler. Now today we've heard Mark Loretta. Kotze's name was thrown around a little bit.
Well, like I was saying before the season ended, it was even like Joe Maddon was thrown out
there.
Joe
Maddon, sure.
Joe Girardi was like, oh, yeah, Joe Girardi, that would be – well, if we can't get Maddon, maybe Joe Girardi would be our option. And now looking at it, where is he going? Did you say Girardi?
It sounds we're recording Wednesday night at 6 o'clock.
The 23rd.
It sounds like he's. It sounds October. Like he's headed towards the Phillies. That's what we've heard. Maddon's on the Angels. It's Joe Ross has been. It's been reported that he's basically locked in to be the Cubs manager. So I mean, the Padres are the one.
We're looking like we don't have all the options. Like we're picking from what's left over.
Yeah. So what I'm interested in the most is. So we have all these options. We have Ron Washington, whose profile is complicated, to say the least, I would say. But, you know, he has experience. He's been to the World Series twice. He has a connection to A.J. Preller. And we kind of know what he brings to the table. He seems to be a little more in the dark ages as far as analytics and stuff. But
and admittedly so. But he's like a fundamentals guy.
Yeah.
And so I think that... I don't know how good the Padres are with analytics yet. I don't think that's really been proven to be true. I think they know what they are, and they're trying to use them in their decision-making and how they do it. So Washington appeals to me a little bit, just as a side note, only because he's such a fundamentals guy. It feels like it would balance out whatever the modern baseball thing is. Like, there's this MLB profile on him. I don't know if you've watched it. It's like a five-minute thing.
I saw that.
With the pad.
Mm-hmm.
I love that kind of stuff.
But it seems like there's these options that we've heard about, and they're kind of vaguely reported by these different insiders, including Kevin Acey, who's going to be on in a little bit, and we're going to ask him about this process a little. But, you know, it seems like every fan gets to decide, gets to kind of say something about themselves. right. by saying this is how they want to go. Like, I don't want another I don't want another kid who doesn't have any experience. I don't want Andy Green 2.0 right. or I want experience. I want a yeller. I want somebody who can motivate.
Well, and hasn't he been to a World Series?
He has. No, Washington has. And, you know, I mean, but they also, like, Jace Tingler's in that organization. He's been groomed in that organization. And, you know, a lot of people, including, you know, Saris has commented that, like, you know, he thinks he's going to be a great manager. So, I mean, a lot of people recognize that Jace Tingler is a smart guy. He's going places in the industry, but, you know, for the Padres in this situation going into 2020, where Ron Fowler publicly has made it clear that they have to start winning immediately or heads are going to roll, including his own, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, sidebar,
we'll get to the old
Ron Fowler press conference or whatever that was.
It wasn't afterwards. It was a performance piece, I think, at the social summit that I didn't get a chance to go to, but,
well, I felt like he had listened to our podcast and basically like channeled my ranting and frustration
clearly.
That I felt unjustified at the time, but after hearing the Big Boss Man vent it too,
Yeah, but we're looking at from the top down, looking at the level below and saying, I think what happened at the social summit that we're talking about, where he's saying that this is, you know, this has been a disaster. He goes through it. He wants to turn around the next year. I think he was performing, or not, I mean, he was basically saying that to an audience of AJ Preller. I think that was a communication to him immediately. And we saw that, well, you know.
Here's the thing, Nick, and I only because I've seen it enough times. Like, I think it is a performance piece. He's very good at it to the season ticket holders.
You think he's just trying to galvanize people and make him kind of run of
let us
people.
Know he's trying. That's all it is. Like, the Padres have it. They have a gold mine here, and I'm really feeling this more and more, and I hate to be so cynical nowadays, but like, he's got to do this thing so that us long season ticket holders go, you know what? They're really going to try this year. They're really going to try this year. But if they do, like, if he does that piece and then they hire a Tingler, like, to me, his ranting is just, like, something he does for the public, not for a single audience of AJ Preller.
Well, with Ron, it does feel when he does this stuff publicly, and I think Darren Smith was talking about it when it happened, that, like, none of this really works except for looking into Tatis Jr., who's having a night on Instagram, by the way. Holy crap.
Tonight or the other
Do
night?
You, Fernando. I love it.
Yeah.
More of it. Off-season with Fernando on IG is the best thing ever.
Yes,
but
we do have that going for us.
We'll talk about that later. But the, you know, Ron Fowler does seem like he wants to project that he's a winner and he has been successful in his life. But it's like, it's always like, I'm a winner, I'm successful, and this goddamn baseball thing keeps getting in the way of it, and he wants us to realize that, like, baseball is hard, and he's not happy with it. And it does feel...
that he's trying.
It does feel like this is a toy for him, and that it's pissing him off. That's what it comes off as to me. I don't think I'm alone on that.
He's not pulling he's pulling the usual strings, and it's not a success.
But what my biggest fear is, though, now he's obviously upset. Now, if he goes after Preller... and Preller gets fired, does that give them a loophole to revamp the whole organization? And what does that mean? Because of we've seen this before all over sports. When a new regime comes in, they don't want to have connections to the players that are in the system. I mean, obviously they're not going to get rid of like a Tatis or something like that, but
I don't know.
It's the turnover in the front office that scares me, because then we could go back to square one where they're selling us a rebuild of the farm system, and that could be the death penalty for me personally. I can't do that as a person.
No, and when you go and you take our emotions as high as like a Machado and you make us feel like you're really competing, and then you blow off and start over again, as did you say an excuse or a
what do you mean
that like if they fire the front office, right. And it wouldn't be an excuse.
It
they
be
might
an
be
excuse.
A marketing ploy. To
it would
like
be a manageable
justify it.
What I think it would be is it would be a manageable fire to put out. They could say Preller didn't work out, and
so
we apologize. Yeah, we apologize, and then they start over, and then they bring in somebody who's not scouting centric.
Then here's what I have to say: is your organization is way too dependent on one person. And you need to build an organization that, regardless of the general manager, the whole like house of cards doesn't come crumbling down. I don't know if that's, I mean, maybe that's not how it works, but you know, if the CEO or the manager of Delta Airlines comes in doesn't mean they're going to have to like ground all their flights.
Right.
And I feel like that's not a good, it's not a good excuse. It's one that they've used in the past and that a lot of baseball organizations use, but I'd be pretty exhausted. Like a death knell for me too. That's just an exhausting
thing.
Well,
we talk about, I mean, we talk about a big fear that people have is that, you know, Jace Tingler could be Andy 2.0. And really, I don't know if that's the best way to look at it because, I mean, if Jace Tingler doesn't have better starting pitching that we saw, the Nationals, one thing we should talk about is, the Nationals beat the Dodgers in the division series. And, you know, that should be a goal for us. Like, they came into that series with three great starting pitchers, and they got other good performances by people. But, you know, most talent evaluators would say that the Dodgers were, from top to bottom, a better team than the Nationals. I think they were favored going into that series, and it's like...
They just couldn't match up with the pitching. Like, yeah, the Nationals had one more better... Yeah.
If Jace Tingler rolls out Eric Lauer on opening day, like... Is he supposed to be? Would Bruce Bochy be any different than Andy Green if that's the case? I mean, obviously, it looks like Paddock is headed towards probably being that. I'd say he's the front runner, but still, it's like.
No, the Nationals had guys throwing like no-nos into the seven, like a couple of them.
Yeah. I don't know. The Andy Green 2.0 fear doesn't really work for me because it's. I think it's a bigger systemic problem where this is a strike against AJ. The firing of Andy Green is AJ's problem, and now he's under the microscope. He's going to have a shorter leash, and I don't know, maybe they just figure let him pick his last guy and go down with him, you know.
Well, here's the way it would be 2.0 though, and we'd have to know the difference in Tingler, and I think that's what we don't know about him. We don't know a lot about him. Where Ron Washington feels like here's like a new developmental style with these young kids, and so we can see the shift from Andy Green.
Right.
Until we get to know Tingler and how he works or whatever, it feels like a unknown, which was an Andy Green, guy to manage development in the majors who doesn't really know the majors. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
he's 38 years old, which is a real problem for me. How could, I'm 39, and that I don't know if I can do that personally.
Yeah, like, we wouldn't have been in high school together. Like, he would have been in junior high when I was in high school, Nick.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Are you ready for that? I don't think
no, I'm not. And that's, I think, the issue right now. Is I don't want a guy that like is within 10 years of Machado managing the team right now. And maybe that's foolhardy and maybe that's the right way to go. But it just feels like the Andy Green era was the kid managing the kids.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel like I want that again. And that's, I think, where the Andy 2.0 comes in. If Tingler is like a totally different guy and like, you know what I mean? Different style and... Feels like he gets on the guys in a way, and I don't know.
Just, well, the other
it
thing
has
is,
to feel
I mean,
different.
The Washington, the Washington thing is also that he's going to come in. He's going to be respected by everybody.
Right. He's different
going
out
to
of
be.
The bat.
He's going to be more of a motivational person. Yes. He might not be the X and O's, you know, savant that Tingler might end up being or whatever. You know, that other profile. But I wonder how that plays with clubhouses in 2019. Are these kids just gonna respond to that? And if they don't, is the result still gonna be the same as an unsuccessful season that would happen the other way? I mean, these are the things that are keeping us up at night and keeping us from podcasting enough, I think.
Right. I think they would. I don't know. I don't know the clubhouse enough. I would respect it. Like Ron Washington coming in with his baseball knowledge and his pad would like get me all fired up. I don't know if that's exactly what the Padres need or not, but there's skeletons in Ron Washington's closet, right?
There are,
here's the thing about those, the common fan would know nothing about really, right?
Well,
you kind of got to be on the Twitter insider and follow certain people to really be in this outrage over his potential skeletons and how could the Padres even consider him because of those.
I think it's fair for any organization to look at it. Look at the week the MLB's having. I mean, we had this disaster.
Goodness.
We'll talk to Kevin about that later. But, you know, like the Astros are having, you know, what should be just the moment of their franchise, and they're dealing with an idiot shooting his mouth off about another idiot who might have, or I don't know, you know, he might have done something really drastically horrible and or did do something horrible. I don't know that whole story. I haven't really
looked
at
the,
haven't really looked at the Osuna thing, but
there's just a lot of outrage.
Yeah, but no, but I think it's for on our end for the Padres, they really do. I think all organizations in all sports have to really look at this and decide, you know, okay, what is this going to bring for our PR staff? What is this going to bring for our, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these issues come up for female fans and they're consumers too. And they're coming to the ballpark. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, I think that should weigh into it, but back to the motivational thing where these guys are, you know, there's like four guys that have made real career money in baseball, and the rest of them are all guys that are fighting for their next big contract. Now, if those people need a motivational speaker to come in and motivate them to make this dream come true for them, like, what are we really talking about? I mean, are they, I kind of don't really buy into the guy who comes in and motivates for the people at this level. Like, does Austin Hedges need to be motivated to hit a curveball? I don't think so.
Well, and I don't know.
By a person? I don't know.
I don't know if Ron Washington is like, and I don't know. Just from what I've seen, he took the Rangers to the World Series, and he was very animated in the clubhouse.
Sure.
So they're just his enthusiasm. I don't know if it's like a motivational speaker, but
the
Nationals right now have this chemistry and this funness about them, and you can see it, and I think the manager kind of exudes it and nurtures it. Ron seems to have something similar to that. And then what Ron does, at least from his profile, what I know about him, he brings like the fundamentals there, where you can count on your glove every time you go to use it, that kind of thing, which is motivational in a way for the young kids seeing a path to like, I can see how to be this good for this long.
Sure.
If I get into these routines and get with these practices, and then when we play the game, here's a guy that has a lot of fun, jumps around, like gets pissed off, like whatever, brings that motivation to the game. I don't know.
Well, and maybe it's not motivation. I don't know. I haven't seen him work up close, obviously. And
there's some good gifts out there.
But it's also, I mean, the resume should matter as far as making it to a World Series. Yeah. It does matter for these guys. I mean, maybe that's enough to really lock people in. I don't know. But the other person that's come up in the last few days, Kevin actually wrote something that said that's basically, it's not really, it doesn't look like it's a real thing, but you know, we'll talk about it anyways. Mark Loretta's name has popped up. Yeah, they met, and it was a scheduling issue. Yeah. But I'm interested in that profile as far as like what that would do for the fan base. Cause I think that if they hired a Mark Loretta, who's a pretty beloved Padre from that period, as far as that period, like he seems to have a across the board approval rating. Like,
yeah.
Would he,
a good guy.
Would it be beneficial for even Preller to just have somebody with that
cachet,
long of a grace period? I mean, if they come out of the gate, and there's a lot of factors that could go into them coming out of the gate and being a disaster in 2020. But if they have a guy who is generally liked, does that take off being upset at the manager for a longer period of time? I think anybody who gets it hired is going to have a honeymoon period. You know, we're going to give him a chance,
yeah,
I'd like to think.
But, yeah.
You know, would Loretta have more of a chance?
I don't know.
I think he would. I think he,
like, what, a year?
He's well-liked in the media. He's well-liked.
But I don't know, Nick. I get what you're saying. But if they're playing, if Preller's playing, if that comes into his consideration, I think he's doomed.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's playing for the PR, and maybe he's the right fit. You got to, like, know the guy you're hiring is the best to lead your team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
this is, Loretta seems like the boon fit in New York, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know why that seems similar to me, which seemed to have worked.
Well, he has an iconic home run, you know, that the last time that the Yankees had something over the Red Sox, you know, I think that does matter. And
yeah, and he just seems like a good baseball guy, a good baseball mind.
And I think Loretta's probably, Loretta's probably like that. I mean, I think, you know, I say like, oh, he's well liked in the media, but you know, that does seem to be a big part of the job. Like,
it's a huge part.
Already got a head start with that. And, you know, we don't know how Jace is going to talk on a microphone. And we don't know if Ron's going to play here, you know, but they do know Mark Loretta, and that could matter a lot. So,
woo. Hey man, the stove's getting hot.
Yeah. That we haven't even got. Yeah. Let's Jesus. After what's going to happen is they're going to hire somebody, and then it's going to be so deflating, and then we're going to get into real hot stove anxiety where it's Cole and Strasburg and all that. So
well, and hopefully it doesn't happen the same way that the manager does, where it's like all these guys are gone, and we're like, oh, Bauer would be a, or just some random.
It's gonna be four months of just
agony.
Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
All right. Well, we're gonna call Kevin Acey from the Union Tribune. He's the Padres lead reporter there, and we're gonna hear hopefully get some good insight into what this process is really looking like, because we're just two fans freaking out.
Yes.
All right, let's talk to Kevin. Hey, we're on the line with Kevin Acey from the San Diego Union Tribune. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey guys, I'm just happy to be back on the podcast. I wasn't sure if you were ever going to have me back again.
Oh, we love. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah, third time is a big deal. That's an exclusive club.
Yeah, that's like a David J club right there. That's a big deal.
Get my picture on a wall probably somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Steak knives are on the mail. So we'll so how you doing with the manager search? It seems I saw you tweeted the other day that your head might explode soon. So we're in the same boat. How's it going covering this type of story?
I always say that it is the nightmare of a beat writer. I mean, it is for me, because it's like free agency and trade rumors, you know, but it's worse. Yeah. And everybody's got an agenda. And then you got the Padres, who, you know, it's hard to argue against being so secretive. I mean, if no one knows your business, then they can't know your business. So, hey, okay, great. On the other hand, it gets, it's obviously a little frustrating for me, and I think it's frustrating for the fans. I think that you generate fan interest when you let people know what you're doing. On the other hand, it is quite possible that this was going to be Jace Tingler all along, and so maybe that's why AJ Preller wanted it to be secret. I absolutely speculating and, you know, sort of half joking there, but it's not like they really, you know, went out had seven interviews of, you know, people that were visible and, you know, something that would get people excited. But I will say that I'm ready for it to be over. And of course my head was going to explode tweet. I was trying to tweak Ron Fowler a little bit that, you know, because obviously his infamous quote, the heads will roll beginning with mine.
Yeah. Well, so this morning there was talk about, you know, that Loretta might be in the mix, and you posted something today that so Tingler is the front runner, right? That's pretty much established.
That's what I'm understanding at this point, and I base that on new information. I base that on, you know, the fact that AJ Preller was visiting with him in the Dominican Republic on Monday, and I just base that on the ongoing information I'm getting from people all over the place that know Tingler, that and or know Preller, and or know what the Padres are thinking. He has been AJ Preller's choice probably from before Andy Green was fired. And listen, whatever you think about Tingler, you know, that there is a thought that probably should be what Preller, you know, how Preller was operating. I'm not talking Tingler. I'm talking about kind of knowing what you were going to do or what you wanted to do before you got rid of the guy you had.
Right.
So this information isn't coming from the Padres leaking stuff out that they want us to hear. They've been very secret, right?
They have been very secret.
Yeah.
And especially the people at the top, the ones that actually are going to make the decisions. And look, if this is Jace Tingler, it's AJ Preller. You know, Ron Fowler and Peter Seidler were true to their word that they let AJ Preller decide this. And so I think that nothing could be a bigger sign of that than the hire actually being Jace Tingler.
Yeah.
What are you hearing about? Is there a potential shorter deal if it is Tingler that like he could get maybe 2 years instead of three, or is that?
Honestly have no idea. But one thing that I do understand is that there will be changes coming on the staff. maybe, you know, not the entire staff, but there will be changes, and that there is an understanding that not only will AJ Preller have to be more involved with the major league club, to sort of give a little bit of a strength to Jace Tingler's position with players and with coaches, but that they would also like to sprinkle their staff with more experienced coaches. And that doesn't necessarily mean more experienced coaches than they have had in the past, but it might mean like a former manager. It might mean a longtime coach from somewhere who garners a lot of respect. So it will be interesting to see how it does all fall. Look, I absolutely get why people be, Jace Tingler, first off, I never heard of him before. Second off, he doesn't have any experience, you know, and whatever you're bothered by about Jace Tingler, I just would sort of ask, like, well, what do you know about him that makes you convinced he's not going to be a good manager? But that said, I think the Padres are aware what the perception will be, the perception from fans, the perception from players. And I think that they're going to try to back this guy up with some experience.
Yeah, after your article today, I think that Preller might be on Twitter seeing how Friar Phil reacts to this and you know, how high his heart rate gets, you know, going after this, because he's been a little heated lately, and I think that Preller actually cares what Friar Phil thinks, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, have you heard anything about his actual personality that would be different than Nandy Green? I mean, people seem – when I think a lot of times when this happens, people want a change in temperament or a change in, you know, just approach to managing, even though they are similar profiles and that they had a similar amount of experience and close to the
job.
I
don't think they're the same guy from what I understand. Obviously, I know Andy Green, so, you know, they don't know Jace Tingler, but obviously I've asked people. I don't think they're similar really in any way. I think both highly intelligent. I don't know how to compare the two, as in that I've never met Jace Tingler. But that Jace Tingler is, and I'm not saying Andy wasn't at all, but that Jace Tingler has a certain amount of charisma that people find attractive, you know, in dealing with him. And I've heard this both in a positive and a negative light. And so we'll see, won't we? But I've heard he can be highly excitable.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that would be different than Green, I think.
Yes. To Andy Green's credit, and then perhaps with some people to his detriment, Andy was not highly excitable.
No.
Right.
I mean, interesting.
Going back to Andy Green, I mean, did you think that he was going to be fired? Like, I mean, after the falling out of the gate of the second half last year, did you think the writing was on the wall that it was pretty much over for him, or was there a point where you felt like, man, this guy's cooked, or he knows he's cooked?
In the final weeks, I think it was almost every day or every few days, as I continue to take the temperature on, you know, of the situation in a lot of different levels with a lot of different people, it seemed like every few days it just became more inevitable. Certainly by the end, there was, you know, the last few days, I don't think there was any doubt in Milwaukee. There was just a cloud, and it wasn't working anymore. I think it was what, yes, I based my memory on when I wrote things of where I was, and I was, it was in Los Angeles when I first wrote that, you know, it's the biggest storyline of the final 2 months of the season is the Andy Green's job status. And that was about when I started to kind of grasp that this wasn't like the proverbial hot seat. This was the real hot seat. This guy wasn't like, it wasn't like, oh, well, yeah, you know, Andy Green, of course, maybe his job, you know, security isn't great. No, his job was in jeopardy. And so, you know, and that just, look, heard things throughout, but you know, gosh, they were 45-45 at the break, right?
Yeah.
So it was like, no, I really liked Andy, and you like people, you got to do your job. And I, you know, I did, and I wrote some things about Andy, but I mean, it became pretty obvious. It became pretty obvious. I'd say the final month.
Yeah. Well, you know, after he gets fired, Ron goes to the social summit and he says some things. Does a personal podcast for the Friar faithful. You know, we all know kind of what happened there. But Do you think that was him communicating something to Preller that this has to change now and that the focus is on him or on Preller now?
Well, I think the beauty of Ron Fowler is, and I think people should appreciate this. You can like him or dislike him. You can think he's doing a good job or a bad job. But I think if you're a fan, you should appreciate about Ron Fowler is that he's pretty straightforward. And then if I worked for Ron Fowler, the beauty would be that nothing that he said there was a surprise to me. Now, maybe it was a surprise to me that he said it publicly, but those things had been communicated, I believe, from what I'm understanding, you know, my reporting over the past month or so, they've been said in increasing measure to AJ Preller, to others. I think obviously it was said loud and clear with the firing of Andy Green. And I think I've said before, there was not anything on there he hadn't said either in a group setting to players and to some players privately. So it's not like that was out of the blue for people. I do know that the point is certain people that were caught off guard by the, you know, the fact that he said it in public.
Yeah. Well, you know, the line that caught everybody's attention was, you know, the heads will roll, including my own. I mean, should Padres fans take from that maybe Ron's not having as much fun as he thought he would owning a major league team, and that he could step aside as far as being the front facing voice of the franchise?
I'm going to apologize. You got to understand, in this time of year, I'm getting texts throughout, and it was a text from someone I couldn't ignore. So catch the entire gist of that question. So repeat that for me.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, Ron Fowler basically said, you know, heads will roll at the social summit. And, you know, he said that the line that caught everybody's attention was that he said that, including my own.
Yeah.
Is it fair for a Padres fan to take from that maybe Ron's not having as much fun as he thought he would, and that he might want to step aside eventually if this doesn't work out, like that he's feeling the weight of it?
Well, I don't think that I don't think that's too far off, but I don't know how much it has to do with him not having fun. He is either 75 or will be 75 coming up.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that he planned to work, you know, until he was 80. He, you know, there's a new grandchild. You know, you may have come to understand he has a lot of money and houses in different places. You know, and there is and he's been working since he was very young. That there are different things that he would like to do. I do not know what exactly the plan is, but I never expected that he would be the you know, the day-to-day operations guy for the franchise forever.
Right. So if we come into 2020 and it stumbles out of the gate, I mean, do you think, how do you think it manifests itself to actually have heads roll? I mean, do you think Preller has a year?
Gosh, I would think so. And you got to understand, while Ron Fowler, you know, again, is executive chairman and runs the team on a daily basis, he's not the only owner. Right. And so that's going to play into it. And that brings me to, like, not to evade your question, we can talk about that, because I mean, you know, the answer would probably be like, I don't know right now. I haven't even come to fathom it. But like, people that are against Tingler and think, oh, well, he just signed his death warrant for his job, right? That Preller did. Well, if he hired Casey Stengel, you know, reincarnate, if he hired Ron Washington, if he hired Buck Showalter, Joe Girardi, Joe Maddon, and they won 65 games next year, they're both getting fired.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so like, what does it matter? If you're going to tell me that you just think Jay Stingler is going to be a bad manager, okay, fine. I don't know how you know that, but okay, that's cool. But it really didn't matter who AJ Preller hired, because his fate is in that manager's hands.
Yeah.
Well, you know, on one hand, right, you could say, hey, let the guy hire who he wants if this is his job on the line, right?
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better.
Well, you know, so we do have after the World Series, there's going to be some 40-man roster implications that have to be figured out. And, yeah, you know, is this because Ron said that publicly and has kind of laid it out what his expectations are, and AJ is a smart person who knows how to listen. Like, do you think that we could see a lot of movement going into this hot stove as far as the – you know, the glut of prospects that they have and possibly spending money on a pitcher who might be playing, who might be pitching tonight, actually.
The idea that they're going to spend Strasburg kind of money, or Garrett Cole kind of money, it just doesn't seem likely. It just doesn't. But, you know, I'll rule out nothing of AJ Preller to pull another thing out of his hat and convince the guys with the money to spend. I will absolutely never rule that out based on what he has shown that he will do since day one on the job.
Well,
right up until last offseason.
What's some of the numbers going for Cole? Sorry to interrupt, but
oh, he's gonna get a lot.
Maybe I heard like 40 a year, or is I way off on that? I heard some ridiculous number, but maybe
I've heard 40 a year too, though I don't believe it. I mean,
not after last night's performance.
It only takes one team, but that's amazing. But what if it's 35? Which I think he's made 35 in his career. So, it's going to be more. And look, that's why you asked about Strasburg. Obviously, that's who you were alluding to. I don't think they're going to be in the market for Strasburg money. I just don't. They are aware they need another pitcher that they can place at or near the top of the rotation. They have their currency, and I'm not saying they're not going to sign free agents, but their currency is in prospects and young major leaguers. And so it is probably time for AJ Preller to loosen the grip. And that's not to say, I mean, I know people have come after Patino. People have asked for Gore. I know that the Mets wanted one of them. I'm not entirely sure who. But that, you know, it's going to be time for AJ to probably loosen his grip on a prospect that gets a, you know, player, or maybe it's multiple prospects, and it's going to depend on the team, and different teams have different philosophies. AJ Preller's philosophy is, you know, a strong farm system means a certain number, a smaller number of potentially great players. Some teams want to stack their farm system or their major league roster with just solid major leaguers, you know? So he's just got to find the right deal and, you know, find himself a number, you know, two starter, something like that. Then I think that'll help their team, and they think that will help their team be a lot better. I'm glad that you asked about it, because I just think that's far more important than the choice of this manager.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, like if we worry, I'm sure you've seen on the internet that people are worried about Jace Tingler being Andy 2.0, and like if he's going into the season with, you know, Paddock, Lauer, and Lucchese, who are still developing players, like isn't any manager going to be Andy 2.0? I mean, right. Andy didn't really have a pitching staff. That's what I think people forget. Like,
the bottom line is Andy Green, who was tasked with and took very seriously his role of being a developmental manager, right? And always, I mean, always publicly imparted the company line and protected his bosses. And so I think invited, very unselfishly, a lot of the vitriol toward him. I think that people thought that's really what Andy Green would have done all the time, is pitch a rookie who's never been in a high leverage situation in a high leverage situation. I think that's what people believe to some extent. So Andy was never going to be the manager. You can't go from being the guy telling the fans, the media, and your players, you know, that this is about development. You just can't go to being that guy that then, hey, now it's about winning, guys. It's really hard to do that. And if you look at history, very few of the developmental guys, the guys who suffered. How many managers did the Astros have in that 5 years? I think it was four managers before AJ Hinch arrived.
Right.
So that's just how it goes. That's not me defending Andy. That is honestly me just telling the fact of what it was, of what Andy Green was doing. Andy Green may have been a horrible manager. Okay. That's not my opinion, but he may have been. Guess what? We don't really know. That's the reality there. So you're 100% spot on about the next manager needs better players, no matter who he is. And it doesn't matter that maybe they want a guy who is going to come in and basically be, Bum Phillips, right? And say, I'll take Minin and beat Yerzin, and I'll take Yerzin and beat Minin. Like, okay, fine. That's not reality. Like you mentioned about the pitching staff, that's not the reality. That's not what's going to happen. Maybe if you give that guy autonomy, if you gave Andy Green autonomy, he could have won 6, 7, 8 more games. He wasn't getting to the playoffs with this roster. So maybe the next manager would show improvement. As a matter of fact, he probably would. This team's going to be better next year. They're going to be better players. Chris Paddock has the potential to be exponentially better in year two. Garrett Richards, this team's going to be better. The next manager is going to have more win-loss success than Andy Green did. Make the playoffs, he needs better players.
Well, one more thing to ask about is that, you know, last year in January, you wrote an article about the debt reduction of the Padres' spending.
Sure, and, yeah, I recall.
for my money, it's still the most important sports piece that's been written in town. So congratulations. I feel that way. But are you going to do anything coming up, like in the off season, like that, like a deep dive, maybe a sequel to that?
We've talked internally about that. I mean, I don't know that we would do something like that again. But yeah, I'm talking internally about that once we get past the manager. But then, you know, we've got what I think is really the most important story in the history of sports, and that's the switch back to Brown.
Yeah.
At least no, it's
November 9th.
I don't know about sports history, but San Diego sports at least. and like we mentioned, we're going to have a busy offseason, or at least I'm gearing up for a busy offseason. And, you know, speaking of that, like, remember the outrage over that, right? Uh-huh. So what was it? That story dropped on a Friday.
It was in January, correct?
Right. It dropped on a Friday. And then on that Sunday, the Padres met for the first time with Manny Machado. And I believe it was the next day I heard about that. So,
right.
And instantly, it was from, or let me just say this, from mass hysteria over the Padres suck, they're never going to spend any money, they're just about reducing debt and, you know, lining their own pockets, to then AJ Preller and Fowler and Seidler were heroes by the middle of spring training, right?
Right.
So I've seen a lot of reaction of, well, they're going to hire Tingler, I'm done with this team. Oh, now I just told you that I don't think they're signing either one of those guys, but you're done with the team because of the manager, as if that's not, you know, sort of, I don't know, silly enough. Oh, you're done with them. But if they signed Garrett Cole, like that wouldn't change your mind? I mean, so I get it. We react to the moment. I get it. I just don't think this manager – look, I'm not saying it's the right move at all. If it's Jay Singer, I that's not my job. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not willing to say it's right or wrong, because I'm smart enough to know – because I'm not very smart, but I'm smart enough to know that the manager just really, you know – doesn't make that much difference. I never found a single player, personnel guy, to tell me that they believe that a manager makes more than like 5 games difference in a season. Okay? The Padres need more than 5 more wins.
You know what the moral of the story is to me? If you write the debt reduction 2.0 story, we'll get Cole, right? That seems like what we'll get from that.
Reduct harder.
Go big or go home.
I think there is a question to be had there, though. Like, you know, I think you reported on it, or somebody did. Somebody reported that, like, you know, the Padres are planning on raising prices this year,
uh-huh.
and I think fans might have a problem with them not going after a Strasburger or a Cole if that's the case. You know, I think.
Well, I think we got to understand, if we go back to that story, right? I think common sense, the Padres didn't make their money back or even close to it this year, right? Like, but after signing Manny Machado, it just didn't happen. They didn't make $30 million extra dollars this year because they signed Manny Machado. That's neither here nor there. What I want to say
Visa bill says something different, Kevin.
$30 million.
That's why we need you to do a deep dive.
I did have a lot of swinging and fire ales, I do have to say.
This is what you should do in January.
What I think is a good point and a valid point, and something that fans, you know, would be right to sort of at least ask the question, if Ron Fowler believes they need to get better, well, then isn't some of the onus on the ownership to help that happen? Whether that means going after Steven Strasburg or not, let's get Garrett Cole out of our mind. But whether that means going after Steven Strasburg or not, I don't know. But in terms of it, some additional investment, I would think it's only natural to say that then the onus needs to be on the ownership to a certain extent. But like I said, I think their belief is that their greatest gold, their greatest currency is in players that they can trade.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. Hey, Kevin, thanks for coming on. And, you know, next time we talk, we'll be in a brown and gold world, I guess.
Cannot wait.
And have a manager and...
Yeah, you know. Is there a different event for the press than the November 9th announcement? Or
yeah, I mean it's we're invited to go see it.
Are you going? Guys,
they're magnificent. I'll just say that.
Oh, you've already seen them.
Okay.
Whatever you, I'll go out on a limb. I know that not everybody's gonna like them.
Yeah.
They're magnificent.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay. I think we're gonna RSVP. We might have to do it.
You should.
Might
I
have
think
to make
it's
gonna
be a cool event.
One.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be a cool event.
Cool. Well, last thing, Kevin. How about them Chargers? Don't answer that.
I don't even know what you're talking about. It's bliss. It really is. Yeah.
I spend the weekend up in LA, and no one up there knows who they are either. It's amazing.
I have definite thoughts on it. I just don't spend a lot of time on it. I think it's. I think exactly what I thought. When they left, yeah, I just think it more. Yeah. It's terribly sad, and I think it's a real bummer that the only joy that San Diego Charger fans get to have is in watching the miserable team, have a bad experience. That's too bad.
And then we get ratings. Twitter. That's the best part. Just kidding. All right, Kevin. Well, we'll be reading you, and have a good holidays if we don't talk sooner, I guess. But keep the faith, I guess.
My faith is kept.
Cool.
Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Afraid of Cubs. The Padres are
ball busters.
Well hit deep right at the fence. It is going in.
High right center field. Way back. They're near. Going. It's gone.
Great play. Off balance. Throw to first. They got him. A sensational play by Alan Wiggins.
2-0. High fly ball. Well hit right field. Look out. Maldonado at the wall. Terry Kennedy. Home run.
Drive to deep right field. If it's fair, the Padres will have the lead. It is a fair ball.
Going back is Reynolds.
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego podcast network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's ERIN@VOSD.org.